You know, my response is, if you recall, we had that, I'm going to keep on harping on this. We had that, those predictions about social media at the beginning of last year. And one of the things I coined back then is video is the new black. And, you know, sadly enough, I'm still saying that at the end of 2018. And I'm going to say it as we go into 2019, because it feels like no one's waking up to this reality that your behavior, your consumption, you yourself, whoever you're watching out here, you're watching more video than you ever have before. And yet your behavior in your work ignores that whole fact. Video is the new black. People are watching video more than ever, right? 80% of all global consumer traffic is going to hit that number. 80% of all global consumer traffic is going to be video by the end of 2018. We're almost there. That's nuts.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined with our good friend and regular here. We might as well make you an honorary host, Kenny. Kenny Jiang, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here, Nils. Always glad to be wherever you are.
Kenny, I have a question, because you are a celebrity on this podcast and a celebrity in life. I was with you somewhere, and you said your last name different than I have always said it, and so I'm feeling a little guilt as your friend. Have I always said your last name wrong? Can you tell me and all of our listeners?
How would you say it, Nels? So why don't we start there?
I always say Kenny Jiang.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know what? I will tell you this. I think what happened was you heard me. So we were speaking at a conference, and you heard me talk to the MC, and she was asking me, how do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah.
I told her how to pronounce it, and then she went. She proceeded to go on and announce and use a totally different pronunciation. Yes. And I think that's what got you confused.
Okay. Having the name Nils, I get called Niels, Niles, Nails. I get a lot of pronunciations. I just didn't, as your friend, it was one of those convicting moments of like, Kenny's one of my best friends, and I don't even know his name. So
yeah, I've been waiting for that to come up, Niles. So honestly, let's just geek out a little bit. My parents came from Korea. I'm Korean American, second generation. Yep. They came over, and most people with the Korean name, it's actually pronounced Jang, and with an open aspiration, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But most people romanized it as Chang, Chang, which a lot of Chinese families do. And my dad's like, I'm not Chinese, I'm Korean. How do we distinguish ourselves? I took English. And J-A-H is Ja, and then you add the N-G. So he spelled it phonetically, but then in the United States, no one speaks English the way you should be. So we've been called, I remember growing up, everyone calls me, hey, Kenny Yang. I'm like, my name's not Yang. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. In Europe, it's J is pronounced Y. I'm like, do I look European to you? Jang, Jong, as long as you're not yelling at me, you can call me whatever you want, Niles.
All right. Well, we all know that you're the yeller in this relationship. But, you know, so for me, my great-great-grandfather was named Nils, who brought our family over from Sweden. And Nils in Sweden, there's actually a chair at IKEA called the Nils chair, spelled the same way. It's a common name. I've never met another Nils, but my reality is, if my parents had just given me two L's in America, it would have made my life a whole lot easier, but I have one L.
You would think that would solve the problem.
Yeah. Who knows? I might still have the exact same problem. I'm making an assumption. So Kenny, you just got back. And the reason we're talking today is you just got back from Grow With Video Live in Vegas with our mutual friend, Sean Cannell, who's been on this podcast a couple of times. He, a genius. I got into vlogging mostly from watching his vlog. Video, and we've talked about this so many times on this podcast, is core to social media today. I think I've heard that more than 50% of all content consumed on Facebook now is video. They're predicting 70% by the end of this year, which only has a few months left. That's Facebook. YouTube is all video. Instagram is what Instagram has become, especially with Instagram stories. LinkedIn added video a year ago. LinkedIn is huge. Kenny, we want to process the whole conference, but tell us what is your immediate response having come back from this conference all about video?
You know, my response is, if you recall, we had that, I'm going to keep on harping on this. We had that, those predictions about social media at the beginning of last year. And yeah, one of the things I coined back then is video is the new black. And, you know, sadly enough, I'm still saying that at the end of 2018. And I'm going to say it as we go into 2019, because it feels like no one's waking up to this reality, that your behavior, your consumption, you yourself, whoever you're watching out here, you're watching more video than you ever have before. And yet your behavior in your work ignores that whole fact. Video is the new black. People are watching video more than ever, right? 80% of all global consumer traffic is going to hit that number. 80% of all global consumer traffic is going to be video by the end of 2018. We're almost there. That's nuts. Right? And so you got other crazy facts. 92% of users who watch videos on their mobile phones share video with other people, right? Yes. That's pretty much everybody. I don't think there's anyone here listening today that has not shared a video that they've seen on their mobile phone or social media. Yep. And so your behavior is doing that. Why aren't we following through with that on the publisher side? That's my big question.
That's good. That's good. Well, Kenny, we're going to get very practical in this conversation. And so I think the argument, nobody is arguing with whether video is a good idea or not. I think what from, and let's talk to ministry leaders here. What I hear more than anything is the excuse of, I don't have the gear, I don't have the time, I don't have the team, the excuses. And so we want to get very practical here. Kenny, one of the questions you and I, or one of the conversations we had offline before you went to the conference is, do you need a DSLR or not to do video? I'm going to, before you answer that, I'm going to get very practical. I don't own a DSLR. This is what I use to vlog is a webcam. The webcam I'm using right now, if anybody's watching on our TV apps. But my primary camera is my iPhone, naked without anything on it. But I've got three tools that I connect to my iPhone that professionalize my videos when I need them. And so the first is $10. It's a, I think it's Anchor is who puts this out. It's a little mini tripod stick handle thing that kind of doubles as like a selfie stick tripod. I set it up. I can go vertical, I can go horizontal. It holds my iPhone. It's got the iPhone clip on there. The other is about a $15 iPhone lens clip that just goes wide angle lens that I clip on. There's some even better ones. You can even, I'll go up to like $100 on these, but it really can legitimize the iPhone. And then what I just invested in is this little Rode iPhone mic. And so if you've seen these, it clips right into the back of the device. So if you're watching on the TV apps, you can see that here. And then I got this little fuzzy rat looking thing that
windscreen, right?
So those are the tools that I use instead of spending the $1,000 or so on a DSLR. I've kind of souped up my iPhone when I want to professionalize it a bit. I don't know if it's worth it or not. I'm using them mostly for the just to get better with Instagram stories.
Let me show you my kit, Nils. My kit is this. I've got a $5 pop, it's not even a $5 pop socket. It's a pop socket I swiped off a vendor table at the last conference you and I were at.
Yep.
And that's all I use to stabilize my phone, and I'm talking through. So I'm even more low tech than you, Nils.
And you've been doing KJTV on a daily basis. How many episodes in are you today?
We are now at episode 35. And 35. So, on a daily basis, daily KJTV, that's the hashtag. And the traction I've gotten is tremendous. Now, I've been doing videos for a while, right? And last season I did Vlogmas, 30 days of video. Yeah. And that proved the point to me that video, you need to double down.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing this blog. I'm committed to doing at least 365. I'm going to do a year of video. And I mean, one day at the conference, I put out 5 videos. That's how easy it is. I'm capturing, editing, and publishing all from my phone.
That's awesome.
Forget about the gear. Because I feel, Nils, how often are you going to actually carry around all that gear? Even the stuff that you have, it's not even a big kit. Are you really going to carry that around with you on a daily basis?
Not often. So I keep it in my computer bag. And so when I have my computer with me, which is, you know, I don't know, half the time.
Right.
And so I've got to be very intentional, but you're right. I mean, I'm not putting that in my pocket, but there are times that I'm pulling that out. So I wanted to have that accessible to me coming back from the conference, let's get practical with the gear because I'm trying to remove excuses from ministry leaders. You basically said you don't need a DSLR. My question for you now.
No, I say you need all you need is a pop socket. And you know, I'll tell you, to go to theory, and I'll share one thing explicitly Sean Cannell taught us.
Yeah.
The phrase AVL. You need to think about audio. You need to think about your video. You need to think about your lighting. And then he prioritized this hierarchy. He said, audio is what you want. You want to invest in audio. Just like you have a mic in front of you, I've got a podcast mic. Yep. We could have been doing the Zoom call without mics. Yep. We could do it with headphones. And I do that all the time too.
Sure.
But you want clean, high quality audio because people will suffer through low quality video, but they low quality audio is the hard part. Yep. So you want, I think you're, fuzzy windscreen, your directional mic, that's a great investment to make sure you have high quality audio. But that's why I'm thinking, I don't need a DSLR. Do I need to spend $1,000 or do I keep what I have and just do iPhone, which is HD quality to begin with, and just make sure that I'm in a clean environment, that the audio is decent.
What I hear you saying, you're not going to get a DSLR. You're going to stick with your iPhone for now.
I don't know. So I think I will probably have it and never take it off the tripod in the home studio. In the home office studio, I'll probably set one up. And then there's two guys at the conference, and he had, again, he used one example. Everyone laughed because it was about 220 people, 230 people of my guests that were there.
Yeah.
Many professional vloggers. I was sitting next to one. On one side, some guy has a YouTube channel with 65,000 followers. Yep. On the other side, someone has 240,000 followers, right? Wow. So these are all people who are really real vloggers.
Yep.
And so they've got all this gear and stuff. And they put up on the screen this guy that does videos using a Canon Vixia camcorder. Do you remember those things? Camcorders, Nils? Are you old enough to remember those?
I am old enough, yes.
So this guy uses a camcorder, an HD camcorder on a tripod. I used to use taping my kids for soccer on the sidelines when I was, right?
Yeah.
You go into Best Buy, I think there's only two camcorders in the Best Buy the last time I went. And he uses that because that's clean HD video on a tripod and that's it.
Yep.
And so do you really need, you know, the sexy bokeh effect, the depth of field? Maybe that's the only reason you would want a DSLR type of camera that the iPhone doesn't have, right? That's the holy grail. I've been playing with some apps to try to get that depth of field. But anyway,
So bottom line is with video. Bottom line is
no excuse. You're a ministry leader.
That's the bottom line. But then constantly up your game. But
let's talk about that later. Let's talk about it later, right? Yeah. Like I think the job is getting you to start today. Just shooting your first video. Start shooting, like on your Instagram stories, you just challenged everybody. Just 4 videos, 1 a week. Just try it once a week and you told exactly what to do.
Yep.
Let's see, just for a month, 1 a week, and then see what we can talk then. Let's delay all of that. Let's just figure out how to get you started, right? Yep. Version 1 is better than version none. Have a bias for action. How do we get you to just hit that button, record?
Okay, so then second step is, and they'll say, I don't have the team. So that's to capture and to edit. You basically said you don't need a video team. You've got a right arm and your pop socket is your team.
Yeah.
Editing, any tips, tricks, things you took away as far as editing goes?
Not on that side. They didn't geek out on that side. I think that was assumptive. When I coach my clients and I'm doing it myself, right? You have to do it in order to teach it. I'm trying to reduce all friction.
Yeah.
Knowing that if I have set up a process, and I have employees and a team, I actually have 2 videographers on my team, but I'm not delegating this portion of it because, like at the conference, one day at the conference, I put out 5 videos and no one else that was doing professional vlogging put out 5. This is seriously practical. Capture it, edit, and publish. And for me to edit a 3-minute vlog takes me 15 minutes or less. And then just push it out. That's all you need to do. So, no excuses. If I can do it on the go, so can you.
While you were answering that question, Kenny, I captured a video and I distributed a video on Instagram stories. That is how easy it is to capture and distribute.
And you're being totally serious about it, right?
I am.
People here thinking that you're mocking me, but no, I think you probably are mocking me. But at the same time, you literally did put out a video.
I did. I captured it on Instagram with my camera. It basically, I just hit submit. I added a little even text overlay. I had time to do that while you were answering that question. It is that easy. We overthink this too often. So here's then the next question of capture, edit, distribute. Where should ministry leaders be thinking from a distribution channel? Is this basically create and distribute everywhere, or do you need to be thinking platform specific? When it comes to video, what was the conversation out of the conference?
Again, so it talked about, there was a YouTube conference, so Sean Cannell is known for YouTube.
Yep.
But he was talking about, look, you need to syndicate into multiple places. And then there was also talk about, don't go crazy. Stick with what you're comfortable with. Stick with where your base is first, and then incrementally go out. And so that is there was a bombshell that was dropped in terms of that later. But what he's saying at the end of the day is you just need to start and be consistent. Consistency was one of the big things. You need to be consistent. You need to be consistent in publishing.
And so consistent being once a week, once a month, once a day, what is consistent?
Yeah, I think they came down to the general consensus and of all the speakers. The general theme, I think, if you mystery shopped all the guests, the participants, it's about a weekly thing. Once a week is kind of like the minimum that you want to do. Now you can put up bonus episodes, et cetera. You don't need to go crazy like I am doing daily videos. Yep. It's just for me. It's that easy. Like I'm sitting on seven extra episodes that I have.
You got
that's,
can.
And that's including the five that I put out on Wednesday, right? On top of that, I'm able to create these short videos. And again, you don't need to create long videos. You need to think whatever you think is reasonable and put that in half. Yeah. So whatever you think is reasonable length, you need to cut that in half. Reduce the burden on yourself. You need shorter content, bite-sized pieces. It's not even bite-sized. It's like micro bites. Think of it that way.
So that's good.
There's one creator on LinkedIn. All she does is ask a question. She's an intro. She literally just asks a question. I think she might repeat it twice sometimes, but most times not. Yep. And then it's an outro. So it's some strategic question she wants to challenge you with. And then she goes out, and she's one of the highest ranked video creators out there.
Interesting. So it's interesting you say shorter content, because what I have heard on YouTube specifically is video content is actually getting longer. And so I'd love to hear even how you would define shorter. And then one of the things I remember, you know, Sean spoke at Dunham & Company's ministry summit this last year. And one of the lines he said that is rung over and over again is a video should be as long as it needs to be and as short as it can be. Yes. And I thought, man, what a great line. I've repeated that so many times, because so many people ask how long should it be, or how short should it be? And his answer was basically however long it needs to be and as short as it can be. That's vague still. What's an ideal length that maybe ministry leaders should be thinking about?
Again, I think, so he put up an example on the other end of the spectrum. You would think he would give you, say, hey, it's 30 seconds, 90 seconds, 8 minutes, whatever. He gave an example of a channel that this guy is doing 4-hour videos. I forgot if it's a gardening or something outdoors, either mechanic or something. He's literally sitting outside and he does these 4-hour video streams.
Yep.
And he is crushing it. The number of subscribers he has is crushing it, and the revenue he's making is crushing it. What he talked about was, it's not about length. It's about engagement and hang time. So it's minutes of people watching. So one person watching 4 hours is equal to, you know, hundreds of people watching 1 minute. And so make sure that whatever you put out, it's engaging. And this is where numbers makes a difference. You know, like when we were growing up and everyone says math matters, math numbers matter, right? This is one of those examples where it matters. You need to be able to, and it's not complex. You need to be looking at your insights and seeing, oh, what's the average hang time? When do people fall off on my videos? And look at that and then say, wow, if they're dropping off before 50%, your videos are too long, because you're penalizing yourself.
Yeah.
You're penalizing yourself because people are watching less than 50% of the videos, and you gotta get shorter. And I understand you're trying to get to 8 minutes, 10 minutes. Yep. Most of the videos out there can be done shorter.
That's good. That's good. So if you're advising a church where to start with video, do you say just start with a sermon, or do you say start with something else? And then two, what platform? My personal opinion, I mean, one, I personally think every church needs to start with Facebook, and not even just with video, just with social. If you're not doing Facebook, well, yes, don't go anywhere else. But I think the biggest, and then Instagram is the sexy platform right now. It's hot. I think that needs to also be a priority. But I think YouTube is probably the biggest missed opportunity for churches. But YouTube is a beast in and of itself. And to do YouTube well really does require a lot of energy and effort. Kenny, I'm curious what your perspective is, especially coming out of the conference from a platform perspective. You're advising a church leader.
For church, so this was not a Christian conference or church conference, yeah, although
right.
I would say anecdotally a third to more, less than half, about half or to a third were Christian, which was really interesting. It was great to be in that environment.
Yeah.
So I would say there's a lot of simple things. If we're going to go like your prescription in Instagram stories, which I thought was fantastic. A simple thing is a video cover letter, a simple introduction. Hi, my name is this. I do this at the church. This is what gets me excited. And this is what I love about our organization. And I'd love to shake your hand or meet you or take you out for a cup of coffee. A very brief introduction. It's the equivalent of a handshake, a salutation, right? That's the simplest thing to do so that people get to know you. You want to humanize the experience. That's what video is for. That's what social is for.
Yep.
They're coming to your church. You want to humanize that experience before they get there. And so, just a video cover letter that we call it, right? Or just an introductory video that says, hey, my name is Kevin Jang. I'm the pastor of ABC Church. I've been pastoring for 17 years. I graduated from Princeton Seminary. I love this, this, and this. Currently in this church, I do these things. We've got a whole staff. We've got these ministries. We're located here. We meet on Sundays at this, this, and this. I love meeting new people in the community. You can email me at this address. You can drop by. You can set up an appointment. You can visit our website. I invite you to visit either on a Sunday or not, and we'd love to connect. Period.
Yep.
That's all you want. Someone to humanize you as a person. So that's the first step. I think it's easy.
Yep.
And I think it's something that everyone needs, right? And that's just the basic, basic thing.
I love it. I love it. Well, Kenny, as we wrap up this episode, really thinking about video, two things. I mean, I'd love any other practical advice. Maybe before you get to the practical advice, I'll let you maybe think on that. You met some really interesting creators that are doing some really unique things in the ministry space. I'd love to, if you'd share maybe a couple of those people. I mean, obviously we love Brady Shearer on this podcast. He's been a guest here a couple of times. He's doing some incredible, just great stuff, just speaking into church leaders on YouTube and Facebook and across the board in social media. Who else was there from in maybe the ministry space that caught your attention or you really enjoyed getting to know and collaborate with or learn from?
Yeah, so the first one I would point everyone to, and I think you've had him on the show, is that Christian vlogger, Justin Coe.
Cool.
Justin is a vlogger he's a young guy.
Yeah.
He goes under the handle That Christian Vlogger. He's got about 65,000 subscribers, so he's gotten traction.
Yep.
And you can see what he's trying to do.
Yep.
He's really trying to engage that YouTube audience, right? Yes. Bible study for beginners.
Yes.
And things like, should a Christian kiss before marriage?
Yep.
All these little hooks to bring non-believers into the conversation.
Yeah.
Those are the types of things that he's doing, which I think is very interesting to see.
Fascinating, yep.
And he's growing at a really fast pace. The other one is Trey Van Camp, right? He's a pastor in the Phoenix area, and he's actually on YouTube engaging the audience. He's planted a church in 2 years there, I think above 200 people. Just think about church planting, how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And he's using YouTube specifically and a vlog to engage the local community. Again, it's a word of mouth tool. Yep. When you find something cool, you share it. And so
one of the things I love about what he
does that happen in the church though, right? Like,
yeah, totally. One of the things I love about what he's doing and just watching him from the outside, and we've got to have him here on the podcast soon, but he is, he's documenting this. So I bet it's going to help the growth of his church. I bet it's going to help him have extreme ministry impact outside of his church as well. But the gift it is to his church and even to himself and his family for years down the road of documenting this journey, that alone is extremely valuable, even if nobody else goes beyond it. I think there's just some unique insights into what this means in the future to have these things documented today in this medium. I think that's when I've been watching his vlogs, and he's one that I watch pretty much every episode he puts out. It's really creative, but what I keep thinking is, man, this, he's going to really value this in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's put out over 200 vlogs, and he's almost like it's almost like a mini documentary, totally. YouTube style, right?
Yep. But it's hard. I mean, I think he has about 3,000 subscribers. It's not a massive audience, but it's a really engaged, really creative, and I think it's one of those things of sometimes people just assume I put 200 videos out, I'm going to have 300,000 subscribers by the time I'm there. It's not always that easy. Building an audience on these mediums is a lot of hard work.
Well, one of the speakers there, she was talking about, you have to find your avatar, your target audience. And what you want to find is those people that are going to be your lifelong, say, customers.
Yep.
The people who are, right? It's the Wired magazine famous article of 1,000 raving fans.
Yep.
That any artist just needs 1,000 raving fans as patrons, and you can be super successful. And so, again, it is not – there's something to be said about trying to grow your list and your subscribers, et cetera. But those vanity metrics are vanity at some point. You just need engaged audiences, and you need to serve them well. And the storytelling part of it is, that part of the equation, that you engage them with authenticity. And you don't need that many people. You're right. He only has 2,500, 3,000 people following him. And you don't need the 65,000 that Justin have, or the – 1 million that Nils, your channel is going to have next week, right? So it doesn't matter the numbers. It matters the engagements. And that's at the end of the day. And it's interesting that proves out. That proves out the truth, right?
Yep. I think the bottom line is hard work. And there's no guarantee that on the other side of the hard work is a large audience. Any others that stood out before we jump into that practical advice?
There was a bunch. I mean, nothing. No one specifically there was a bunch of beauty bloggers and fitness and a lot. What's interesting to me is that everyone's trying to get into this game right now.
Yep.
YouTube's been around for a while, but it's not too late. You have to look forward, not backward, and it's not too late. YouTube is prime for you. Video is prime for you, only because culture has shifted. This is now, we've turned into a Netflix nation. We are no longer passively sitting back with a remote control. We are now actively searching for good content.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kenny, as we wrap up this podcast, what final piece of advice coming home from this conference in Vegas would you give ministry leaders about video online?
I think it's to talk about it and to do it. It's just like what we do back and forth, and we're doing this in this podcast format. We're doing it. We do it offline. Is we are using each other as sounding boards. Find other people, whether it's in your team or other pastors or other ministry leaders. Talk about it and then experiment. You can't look at this as publishing a book.
Yep.
You have to look at it as an experiment. And so have fun with it. Just get started.
I love it. Talk about it. Do it. If you have not uploaded a video this week, what video are you going to upload next week? If you uploaded a video, how can you make that video better the week after that? And even a little better the week after that? And maybe are there two videos the week after that? So just keep pressing forward, embrace video, get better at video. It's not too late. It's actually just the beginning. And you need to get going on it. So, Kenny, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your insights.
Thank you very much for having me, Nils.
All right, go to socialmedia.church for the show notes on this episode. We'd love for you to make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening and leave a review. It would mean the world to us. We appreciate you listening and being a part of the Social Media Church community.